Okay, perfect. Welcome back, everybody, at our next session. Once again, if there is anything you'd like to ask our two guests, please don't hesitate, just leave it in the chat, or you can also raise your hands to come up on the stage. We'd like to start with a quick introduction, maybe who you are, where you're from, and what you do. We always do ladies first. So, Daniela, maybe you can start.
Hi, everybody. My name is Daniela Caram. I'm a hockey player from Chile. I've been playing hockey since I was 5 years old. Play for my club and also for the national team for around 13 years. And today, well, I was invited here because I'm doing a project on para hockey, or hockey for people with intellectual disabilities.
Hi, my name is Peter van Straten. I'm half French, half Dutch. I started playing also when I was like 4 or 5 years old. My sister played at a club and I always went there with her. And so, I started immediately playing when I could, and it was more than a passion for me. At my 16, I entered the French squad under 21 first, and after also in the international squad for now already 8 or 9 years, the A squad. And next to it, I started a company called Hockey Filmpje, which is on social media quite a big page, and we're developing it more and more now.
Okay, great. We're gonna start off with a question. Why did you guys create, or are you involved in the organization you're working on at the moment? What's the motivation behind it?
If you want to, who goes first?
You can go first.
Okay. Well, I've started this with a couple of friends 2 years ago, before the pandemic. I've always thought that hockey is something, or sports in general, something that everybody should be able to have access to and do it. I think it's something that brings you a lot of values and a lot of good things for your life, and a lot of learning. And I had a couple of friends or parents at the club who worked with children or people with certain disabilities. And we just one day we started with a small training just to see what people thought about it. If the players liked it and they really enjoyed it, so we said, well, why don't we do this and go a bit further? I think everybody should have the possibility to play hockey or do sports, and this is something that we were lacking here. So we started working on this, and here we are after a tough year with the pandemic and the COVID, but we've restarted and it's going forward, and there's a lot of interest in the project.
Okay, so could you repeat the question for me, Cedric?
Yeah, of course. Why did you create, or why are you involved in the organization you're working at now? What's the motivation?
Yeah, so I created it because like Instagram was a thing back then in 2014. It was quite popular, and I saw like a chance over there. People were posting already on YouTube certain things about funny videos, fails, news, transfers. So we thought like, okay, we could do that like on Instagram also. So we started it, and first begin like slowly, but after a couple months it really picked up, and the amount of followers we were getting were really high, and we saw there was like kind of a market for it, and we continue with building in it in as a brand, and now we have like a quite sophisticated brand with Hockey Film, and we're as a brand also known in the world of hockey, so that's really really nice to be part of it.
How did it affect you, the pandemic, Peter? Did you see it as an opportunity to grow some parts since it's all online, or?
Yeah, it's a funny question because I always see like struggles and problems as an opportunity. And what we did like a home hockey workout program where we contacted all different athletes to just show an exercise which could be done by youth, by parents, by people in hockey, to just stay active and continue being in physical shape, because there was no hockey anymore. And we knew that a lot of people were also online, so that was also a good thing for us. So people were watching hockey film kids, so that was fine. But with regards of partners, yeah, indeed, there was like a little drop down with partners because of the sponsorships of other companies, which were less attractive for the moment. But for the rest, it was quite okay. We haven't had any big issues like big companies who had to stop or something like that. So yeah.
And now that everything seems to be back to normal, or at least back to the pitch, do you see it as well as an opportunity for more content, or now you are a little bit stressed out of people not being that much on their phone, maybe?
Well, the good thing is the competitions have started again, so that means new content and people being also still online. But most of it, there's again hockey, so that means content, and for us that's like new content, and that's the most important thing. That's where we living on, actually. It's like content is king, as we say always, and so yeah, for us it's a good thing now the competitions have started again. That's the best thing for us. Yeah,
Daniela, I feel that for you, it's a clear yes that this is a good opportunity now and everything is back to normal, so it's good for your organization as well.
Yes, definitely, because we couldn't do anything for the last year and a half, especially with the players that we work with. They're very vulnerable against the COVID and any disease, so obviously parents wouldn't take them out. There wasn't any chance of training. So, and we hadn't started, we weren't that fluent planned in the trainings. We hadn't trained that much. So we just couldn't do it, not even online. So now it's been great that we can start and we've been training for the last 2 months and everybody's so happy about it.
What's next? What are you preparing for? Is there a specific goal that you set, or?
In terms of the project, there are goals of obviously making this a bit bigger, creating more mass, more players, having more players, and being able to compete against other teams. We've been invited to Argentina, but obviously now it's not easy because of the frontiers are all closed. But our main goal, which is quite it's a big goal, it's to get to the Special Olympics World Games in 2023. We've been invited, though we're just starting, but we have to get there. So that's our main goal now.
Okay. Besides COVID and the pandemic, what is the biggest problem you face developing your organization, your project? If you want to go off, Peter.
The biggest problem for us, it's maybe to make a full living out of it. It's still social media, it's still young, so there's a lot of unclear for companies. But you see mostly now coming the transitions where companies are saying like, hey, okay. Where companies are seeing the use of social media and what it can bring them. And before it was like, yeah, social media is all new, so we actually don't know what it's gonna give us. But now you see that companies are more and more attracted to social media. It's growing. The amount of people who are online, especially during the pandemic now, is massive. So for us, yeah, that means more partnerships and sponsorships. So yeah, that is I think a big part for us.
Do you want to add something, Daniela, from your camp?
Yes. For us, I think it's what I mentioned before. We're the first team that's playing Hockey ID here in Chile. So obviously we're learning as we work, and we don't have much competition now. So we have to find ways to motivate even more our players and keep them coming, keep them training. So I think one of the big issues to solve is how we get more teams playing, how we might get more players so that we can have a competition either nationally or even going abroad.
And one question for you, Daniela, how many members are there actually at the moment?
Today I have a list of 30 players. And every day, literally every day, I receive a message or an email of people wanting to join the team. I think one of the big issues here in Chile is that you have schools and you have certain organizations who do therapies or things like that for people with ID, but they don't. There isn't a place for them to just enjoy or go out and make a normal life, just do sports and enjoy it. So I think that's been very attractive for all these players and their parents, obviously.
Okay. You were talking about motivating your players to keep coming and keep playing. How do you motivate them? What's the method you use?
Well, right now, they've been quite motivated just by going. As I said, it's something new for them. So that's been great in that sense. But now, as things are getting a bit more normal in terms of the pandemic and the activities you can do, we're trying to make alliances with different clubs so we can sometimes train between our team and other teams from different clubs, people with ID and people without ID. So it feels and it should be very inclusive. So that also keeps everybody motivated. We take them to different. We want to take them to different clubs, to different places, so that they have different experiences. So I think that will. We'll keep them motivated for a while. We hope we can still grow in different activities and different aspects.
What is the most satisfying thing to watch? I feel like only watching them play, it's going to be an absolute banger, but I feel like maybe there's something else about when a player comes back to you and says, I had a blast, or something else that is satisfying for you.
Yes, it's well, what you say, it's very satisfying just seeing them play and having fun. And something else is a realization that they can do the same thing as anybody. And I think that's a big problem in the world where we have certain paradigms where people think, if somebody has a disability, he's not capable. And that's we see this in our trainings, and you see that that's not true. They can do anything. Maybe they'll learn a bit slower. I don't know. They'll catch up later. But in the end, you see that they can manage. They enjoy themselves. They can play hockey as anybody can. And that's really amazing to see. That's really satisfying.
I have a question for you. Like, there are all kind of different disabilities with the kids or with the others. How do you manage that? Because it's for all different. How do they play? What's like the gear they need? It's quite a task, actually. We as hockey players, we only need a stick. We need our shoes, shin pads, and that's it. But like for them, it would be like a whole journey almost to fix that.
One thing is that we're training with people with intellectual disabilities, not physical disabilities. So actually it's just their hockey stick and just like anybody would train. But obviously we have different intellectual disabilities, and each child, each player needs a different approach or needs to work in a different way. So we have a lot of volunteers around who help us, and it's quite it's a team training, but you have all the volunteers trying to do a very individual training as well with them. So that helps us out a lot.
You were specifying now the importance, Daniela, of volunteers, and I think that's an immense help, mostly in ID, for example, in people with some type of disabilities. But also, as Peter was saying before, it is tough and it is hard to fully develop and fully commit 8 hours per day to a project like yours. So how would you see more initiatives being developed on the sport if we still have that volunteership mindset sometime in hockey? Do you see those in the same level, or Daniela, if you want?
What two things? The volunteers and what else did you mention?
And also initiatives like yours that are so important and so necessary, but need a little bit more of time and commitment.
Yes, I think we've been surprised of the amount of people who want to volunteer. They're willing, people are willing to help out, and that's we're really thankful about it, because they are a big help for us. They really are. So we are always welcoming new people or children who want to train also, because they are part of it in the end. They're part of the project, and we need them. So as long as we keep them organized and informed and trying to let them know about everything or our next steps and keep them involved, they keep working with us. And I think they're very positive about the whole project.
Peter, for you.
Could you give me that same question? So what was the question again, Sergio?
How do you see in hockey the importance of projects like yours and Daniela's being developed while in the same time having only volunteership basis collaborators? Having like projects that are based on people working full time.
Yeah, that's like always the case in hockey for the moment. It's like in clubs as well, 80% or 90% is volunteers, and to make that next step, it's really difficult for hockey for the moment. But I see a lot of hope in it. You see that hockey is getting more and more popular, more and more respected. But still we're like a volunteer sport, But the thing is, at the end, if there are bigger partners coming into the clubs, but also like in hockey in general, I think that mindset, like we have in football, okay, football is like much bigger than hockey, but if we can slowly get a bit more bigger partners in the project, a little bit more monetizations in clubs, etc., then we can make the transition to from volunteers to also to professionals or semi-professionals.
So does it for you come from partners, so individuals or private initiatives? Does it come from organizations like FIH, EHF, Pan Am, and so many others? Does it come from growing organically, like initiatives like yours, even though they're voluntarily, or what?
Yeah, it's both for me. It's like the federations, but also the companies. It's a really difficult case, actually. But for me, it's both. It's the federations together with the companies trying to make hockey bigger in general, get it bigger on television as well, give it more publicity. And I think if that is coming, then everything below will also grow. And for example, that's also para hockey will be part of it. That will also be growing. So I think that's what must happen, actually.
Daniela, for you.
Yes, I think I was going, maybe for Peter, it's the same thing, although we're in different kind of organizations, but I think everybody in hockey wants hockey to grow. We were talking earlier that hockey, it's a small family. I have been to Peter's club, I have friends playing there, and I'm all across the other side of the world. So we're a small family, and I think everybody wants hockey to grow. So everybody just comes along and helps however they can. So that's a great push for hockey and for any of these projects.
Okay. You both are like really good leaders, entrepreneurs, if I may call it, and you have an amazing project. What do you guys think makes a good leader, a good entrepreneur? What qualifications do you need? Peter, if you want to start off.
For me, leading is example. So for me, you have to show the example, as it's like in general, if you're like head of a big company or a smaller company with a couple employees, or on the hockey pitch, for me it's the same. You have to show the example, and then others will follow. And if you don't show the example, then people won't take you seriously. So that's for me, the priority of it all. Show the example first yourself, and then the others will follow. And that's actually with Hockey Filmpje as well. We show the example. We try to be present there, to stand for certain norms, and the other, and then people will see it, will follow, and will like it.
Yes, I agree with what Peter says. Definitely, being an example for everybody is it's a must. And adding to that, we'll always be playing as a team in our organizations also. So I think getting everybody motivated, very motivated with your mission, and involved in what we're doing, so that they can just work in this for this mission, for this project, or whatever project we're working in. Just that it comes out from inside, from your heart, that you really want to be part of it. So when you get really motivated people, I think everything just flows.
Yeah, and I think in addition to that, it's also like, sometimes we make mistakes, and you have to commit mistakes and also say, okay, I made a mistake. And that's how you learn and how you get like a better person yourself. It's the same on the pitch. Okay, you make mistakes. What you're gonna do next to to don't do it again or do it better. And it's the same in the company. Okay, you make mistakes, but now what you do to fix them and to grow actually.
Yeah, and I think that's also the right mentality to have, not only for with yourself, but also with the people involved. Okay, you've made a mistake, it's okay, but what are we gonna do about this? What has been one big mistake that you have done in your organization, Peter, if you want to go first? That
we have made a big mistake in 2018. It's Instagram, so it's content, so it's video, so there's also copyright, and we've posted FIH content, which wasn't like we've had like contact with FIH. They said okay, first they just did it via the app, so we got a strike. But then the bigger party in this case was the IOC, the Olympic Committee, and yeah, they striked us, and then from one day to another the account was gone, was banned. And yeah, that was the biggest mistake, because we had nothing. It's something we worked on for three years was gone like in a snippet. So yeah, then we had to fix it, and I fixed it. I for 3 months during all my training camp I was in South Africa. I contacted everybody I could. I sent I think almost about 500 mails, contacted everybody via LinkedIn, Facebook, and then I got in touch with somebody who was not directly connected with Instagram, but was in the Facebook, in the company of Facebook, and she informed me about the progress. Okay, these are exactly the strikes you have and the codes and who you have to contact. So we went back and forward with the EOC and FIH. With FIH was pretty was really nice to fix it. So that strike was gone, but with the ESA was a lot more difficult. And then in 2018 during the World Cup, I remembered was our quarterfinal. We played against Australia. We lost it 4-1. But when I got home to the hotel, the account was online again, so yeah, that felt really good, and that was a big lesson, because it's still, yeah, the world of social media is young, and you see everybody's copying from other pages, etc. But yeah, you have to be clever with that, and I hope and I think in the next years this will be more regulated and will be much better organized. So now we try to have like a good connection, good contact with the persons from which the content is coming from, and to organize it well and to agree on it on all the terms.
On our side, thankfully, we haven't had many major problems or issues. I could say we're just starting for a not very long time we've been working, but it's a constant learning. I think in my personal life or career, I had never worked with people with ID, so for me it's a challenge every day. Every time I see them, it's a challenge, and it's learning and learning from them. So that's pretty nice, pretty fulfilling. But I think that's our main challenge, to learn to provide something new for them, and that everybody is happy with it, that everybody is motivated with it. Sometimes dealing with parents, it's also an issue. There are many parents who are very apprehensive, so you have to learn how to manage all that. It's working with a lot of people that sometimes gets complicated, but it's a challenge, and it's been working and flowing fine.
Have you had any governmental issues or something like that? trying to start it up or with rules? Because it's quite a specific niche in hockey.
Sorry, what did you say at the beginning?
Have you had any governmental issues or certain like rules you really had to follow to start it actually, because it's quite a specific niche.
Not yet. I think we will we will encounter some. But for now we have a lot of support from the Chilean Hockey Federation. So that's good. You have somebody backing you up, and also Special Olympics, Chilean Special Olympics, and internationally. So that gives you a good background wherever you want to go or to present the project. So for now, we haven't had any issues. We'll see what happens. But as you say, it's not an easy niche. So. We have to see what challenges we come up with in the future.
Okay, how do you guys attract people to join your projects? Do you go to them or do you wait for them to come to you? Is there a specific way you do it? Daniela, if you wanna kick off.
Sure. As I said before, we've been quite happy with the players who are joining us. They've come up by themselves, a lot of mouth to mouth. One parent who talks to another, one player who talks to another and invites them to a friend. So in that sense, we're quite happy. And our project it attracts a lot of people who want to help, people who think it's obviously something very positive for the players, for society, for everybody involved in hockey. So in that sense, it's been easy, I think, for us getting people involved. You have to get them motivated or maintain them motivated. But we also we've been doing campaigns to get the volunteers or to get players or we've been working in different alliances that I think that's quite important. As I mentioned, Special Olympics, the National Federation. Now we're talking with some universities because you'll always need help. You'll always need a hand or resources, a field to play in, different things, materials, so or teachers. I think the different alliances that one works on are key for the project.
Okay, Peter has said something funny. He's working on social media as well. Is this something you are using too, Daniela? Are you working on social media, using it as a way to attract people?
Yes, of course. I think social media today, it's a key path, a very useful tool for everybody. We're not that active, but we try and put up things every time, every week, so people get to know us better, people get involved and be part of the project. I think it's the easiest and cheapest way also to attract people. So we definitely use it. Maybe we can work with Peter and something.
Okay. Yeah, actually, yeah, it's actually your little website there. And people nowadays, they take their phone and the first thing they do is they go on Instagram and watch your page or social media on Facebook, and then they're gonna see certain pictures or your little description. So in actually 3 seconds, you have to hook somebody, as we say, to the content. And if you will immediately have certain pictures or videos which stand out, then it's gonna be more interesting to people, of course.
What do you use more, or what do people use more, Instagram or Facebook?
Well, it's funny because I think we all are all in the world of social media at the moment, and I know everybody is using it. So Instagram was really popular the last years, but the transition of TikTok actually is insane how hard it's going. And first it's like, okay, yeah, TikTok is funny, it's for kids maybe and dancing things, but it's getting really serious at the moment. And it's just a transition of the way they're functioning comparing to Instagram. TikTok is really short and snappy content and people just want that. So where people want to be there, we also have to be. So yeah, we're changing, we're talking about it to change also our strategy and show things more on TikTok to get the youth connected with our brand.
I think it's really interesting that point that you're making, because both Instagram and Facebook, well, they're Facebook, they're from the same company, but they both work in a creator basis. So you decide who you follow and deciding that you get the content then. But on TikTok it's really different, because the main page is not the ones that you follow, is the For You page, and there you get things that are recommended by the algorithm. So even if you have really good ideas, really good image, and really good publishing things, TikTok may not recognize you that much, because it's valuing more the viral content. How do you see your transitions to a younger audience, like in TikTok, you would have with this idea?
I don't think it won't change that much, actually, the transition. I think we have to maybe make the videos even more attractive and, yeah, making the hook even more catchier than on Instagram. Because I know a little bit how the TikTok algorithm works. It's part of our job, of my job, to keep updated of all the different developments on social media. And for TikTok, it's like you have to immediately get the hook. But the thing also with TikTok is videos can go really viral really quick. Like certain funny things, or I don't know, a massive goal, an insane goal can go viral immediately, because it's in a certain funnel. And that's with Instagram a bit more difficult. So yeah, that's also maybe my tip for up and coming. People wants to maybe be more in the business of social media or even within hockey company. Try to make content which fits TikTok or maybe still Instagram, of course. But yeah, there's still plenty of room to grow. Yeah.
One question that I want to ask both of you, different topic here, is what is next for your project? What are you looking forward the most, and what do you need to be on that level to achieve that? Daniela, if you want to start.
Well, we're working on getting a more stable organization. Today we're working, that's four of us who work fully, we don't work fully every day, but we work for free in the end, doing this because we love it. So we want to have something more stable, either get it trainers who we can pay for, and have something more organized. Also make it grow. Something that's quite important, it's massification and every term, and at least in Chile it's something we need, hockey needs, and this will help us out also. And I think that's our path now, getting this to grow, getting more people involved, and getting people to know about the project, and obviously have more teams playing and go back to this competition we were talking about earlier.
Peter,
dreams.
Okay, so our next step Our next step is, first of all, we're gonna make a new kind of company next to it. That's what we want. Maybe another kind of page, another social media page, which could be a bit different than Okifilmpje. And next to that, we have some other projects going on with the EHF, which I won't talk about, but which could eventually change. Could eventually change hockey. It's something about filming, but that's like it has it. I can't tell that much about it at the moment. But that's could be something that's maybe you two know it about it, but you two know it maybe already. But that's still like something which is in development. And for us, it's keep growing on the socials. Get the name spread and actually get new partners aboard to get more money actually to spread the word of our brand.
Okay, we've had a quick look in the future for now. If you look into the past, what kind of advice would you give to your younger self?
For me, it's if you have a plan, don't be afraid to execute it. Really, if you're young, you still have time. We still are young, and we have like the pressure of the system. Like we have to always get to college, and then we go to university, and then we work, and that's it. But like you're still young now, and you have so many possibilities, and if you have a certain project or concept or something in mind, don't be afraid to share it and to start it, because now you still can, and you can build something around it, and then that's actually that's a passion, and then from that passion you can make a living out of it. So that's what I advise.
I like that advice. I think when one is young, you're just looking around, seeing what would you do in the future. I think you just have to go for it. If it works, it will work, and you can grow on it. If it doesn't, you just think of how to solve it or do something else. But you have to try whatever you want to do, or you have a small idea and you think you don't have anybody who will support you, I think you just have to try. And you'll be amazed of how many people will open the doors or help you out if you need. You have to just go for it.
Yeah, and bouncing on that is like the journey is more important than the goal. To reach the goal, the journey where you learn actually the tools. I've created then Okifilmpje, but what mostly helped me is the contacts I have now, the tools I can use, the way things work, and I think it's the same with Daniela. She started something. And she's been connecting with new people, learning different rules, different things. So I think the journey is really important there to keep yourself developing.
Definitely. I think it's always plan for something. And for some reason, it turns everything upside down, or where you thought you were going one way, you turn out going another way, or different doors open, different opportunities, different ideas. So I think you're right. You have to go down that path and see what comes up with it.
Okay, great. Thank you. We've come at the end of this session. I want to say a big thank you to the both of you for being here and answering the questions. For the audience, we're going to take a break of 50 minutes and then we'll be back with two empires. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.